Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Lordy, 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 lordy.
Welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. It is a Monday, the 8th of February. We are chomping up 2021, aren't we, Luke Moe? Luke Moe's with me. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I've tweaked some muscle in me back.
Oh.
But other than that, listen, Pete, age doesn't come by itself, as they say. Mm. I've tweaked a muscle in me back, but other than that, I'm okay. I was astonished the other day to read that we are, I think I'm right in saying, 10% through 2021 already.
I'll take that. I will take that. I cannot wait to be sort of vaccine passport in hand, heading to departures at Gatwick.
Where are you going? Where are you headed?
I'm going to hijack a plane and smash it into the sea.
The sea?
Yeah, smash
yeah.
it into the sea.
Why not? That'd be something that's definitely worth getting a vaccine for.
I'll say this for him.
It'll be me being rolled out doing the news bit afterwards. Mm. I'll say this for Peter. You know, what he's done is just unspeakable, but he was vaccinated. He was vaccinated.
He did. He would not be giving any of the flora and fauna at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean COVID.
You say what you like about Pete Donaldson, but he didn't infect a single person on his way to the sea.
Eat clean, train dirty, smash a plane into the sea.
How are you anyway, Peter? As the snow flurries, can you see the snow flurries behind my window? You probably can't, but
no.
It's coming down a little bit still.
Yeah, it's kind of like little sort of itty bits. It's not going to lay as well as it was before. It's a bit more sleety than usual. I was on the old, I was watching Match of the Day on the old cross trainer at 7 o'clock this morning. And then once I finished at home doing my prep for the ramble this morning, and then I had to go back to bed after the ramble because I was so exhausted.
Oh, yeah, that always happens.
Perfect.
I would like, if possible, just to make it easier for me to organise my day, I would like to be able to get up and start functioning at like 6 every day.
Mm.
But it's just not possible. My body clock just doesn't let me really get going until about 7:30. So it's a good effort that. So, but you tired yourself out to such an extent that you were hitting the hay again in the afternoon.
Yeah, well, that's what they say about us modern athletes. Sleep is very, very important. And we've got a producer that we work with called Tom, and he is a big cyclist. He works a lot of Stakhanov stuff, and he is a keen cyclist. And he said that he was going to go on, I don't know what cyclists have, but it's like a sort of trainer bike for your legs and your soul and your brain.
It's just a bike put on a little stand.
Yeah, a little stand for your bike, isn't it? My God, he said he was going to go on there for an hour and a half, and he wanted to do recommendations of films that he wanted to see. Now, that made me think, look, I can do 20 minutes on a cross trainer that I've assembled myself in the garage at 7 o'clock in the morning. Turns out I can't. We'll be doing it again. May as well just push it into the road and let someone take it.
Why is everything that you own in the garage?
It's a lot of it smells bad. A general funk to it that can't be in the home, really. Yeah, it's worse than the dogs.
You know when Alan Partridge says to Sonia that he wants her to move in, but it turns out that he means he wants her to move into the caravan next to his house.
Yes, yeah.
Is that what your partner's done to you? I want you to move in. to the garage.
Pretty much.
With all the wrestling figures.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Well, we've put a bid in on a house, Luke. May very
congratulations.
Well.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean that's the easy part.
Well, hang on.
It?
What did you bid? A tenner? Congratulations wouldn't be in order if you only bid like 100
mortgage,
quid.
Mortgage broker said in no uncertain terms that he would not accept proof of funds from a Bitcoin account. Very, very old school from
what
him.
What a granddad!
I know, right?
Unacceptable.
Yeah, well, you got
2021.
Elon Musk just dropped £1.5 billion into Bitcoin. Unbelievable.
Yeah. What? Elon Musk isn't your mortgage.
No, he's not. His advice is just buy another car.
Elon Musk could give you a mortgage like that without even thinking about it. He wouldn't even have to think about it. That wouldn't even be the biggest decision of that morning.
I reckon that, I've said this before, I don't understand why young men and women have this obsession with tech entrepreneurs. Like
they love them, don't they?
They
absolutely, what is it? Are they not the rock stars?
Well, I think they're just kind of like they're the thinking man's influencer in many ways. Like they can get, they've got such an astonishing amount of money to draw from. But my point is that none of it's fluid. Everything's just stocks and shares and homes and stuff. I don't think if I said, Elon, listen, show me 20 quid now. He'd go, I don't have 20 quid. I'm full of Bitcoin.
I know what you mean, so what you're saying is, for example, when people say that Jeff Bezos is worth 100 billion, but if the process of which he embarked upon to actually get his hands on that money, he wouldn't be able to get anywhere near that because the penalties and the fact that it's all locked up in stock. And
yeah, and
like
everybody
that,
right? Bezos, it's just a paper Bezos needs some cash to make rent. Let's put our shares down.
Is Bezos worse off than you and I then, do you reckon?
I think fundamentally, yeah. Yeah, I could go to a old laptop case underneath the sofa behind me and grab upwards of 40 pounds in yen, loose yen.
Well, you'd have to move quick though, because as soon as you pulled it out from under the sofa, your partner would put it in the garage.
And she'd be well within her rights to do so, quite frankly.
Yeah. So it is an interesting topic, because you do hear of those like confidence tricksters who, as soon as they start moving in those circles, it becomes pretty clear straight away that no one kind of questions it. So, for example, like I know it's probably not as extreme as this, but if you and I were to wear like a nice suit. Well, two suits. We could both fit in the same suit. Two suits.
Very tall,
and
man.
Go to Monte Carlo, right? Yeah. And run up, say, a £200,000 bill in a cocktail bar. Mm. And when they asked us for the money, just really confidently just go, yeah, all right, cheers. And just walk out. I'll pay you next week. No one would, or you wonder whether anyone would check it, because once you're in that circle of circle of moneyed wealth, are people questioning you because they don't want to insult you? You know what I mean? It's almost a bit like when you walk through a hotel lobby. Even if you're not staying at the hotel, no one's going to stop you.
No, exactly. And you're more kind of out there than me. You'd be the you would happily kind of employ subterfuge and deception to just hang out in a hotel lobby, whereas I would be terribly self-conscious, and I feel like I'd upset someone. And as soon as anybody said, "Would you like the lift, sir?" I'd say, "No, shouldn't be here. I'm sorry," and just run out screaming and wet myself. I would not make a very...
Sorry, I'll leave now. I'll just leave now.
I read so much John Le Carre, you know, about spies and people who run spies in the former Soviet Union and beyond. And all the way through, I just sort of think, I wouldn't even get past the first hurdle. They go, "What's your name?" I go, "It's not what I'm going to tell you it is. Bye." And have a big cry. Never mind. Terrible spy.
I think in another world, I think in another world, because I'm going to choose my words carefully here. I am quite a deceitful coward. I think in another world, I could be probably quite a good confidence trickster. Mm. If I lived in like Victorian times, I reckon I could be quite a good confidence trickster and make off with your Building Society book, no problem.
If you're gonna take one object to aid you in medieval times, in your quest to be a real shit, what would it be?
A yo-yo.
Why yo-yo? So it would look really magic.
No, it's just the first thing I thought of. I don't know. I mean, the problem is, see, you're automatically ruling out any kind of electronic item because you won't be able to plug it in. So that's the thing. Okay, we've talked about this before, see. Like, the thing is, even if we talk about how much we love technology and we can purport to know about it, and you know much more about it than me, like if you had to go back to medieval times and explain like a mobile phone, and they would say, okay, well, how does it work? You'd have to say, well, I don't actually know how it works. I just turn it on and it works.
Have you got a charger, mate?
Yeah. So I think it'd have to be something that wasn't too advanced, but at the same time would be impressive to them. So it's a really difficult question to answer. Maybe some kind of rudimentary glider?
I mean, you wouldn't even need an iPhone 11, would you? Or a 12. You'd probably make do with a Samsung or a Huawei or something. Like from 10 years ago. I think they'd be
impressed.
Snake is
going to blow their mind. Absolutely blow their mind to bits.
Yeah, you'd want something that had a really, really long battery. And if you're in that situation where... Because you don't need to show a certain amount of people. You'd have to show like a king or a queen. And then you'd become their kind of like, the person who wants to hang out with them. You'd probably make a lot of money like that. But yeah, I just bring like a really decent gun. just go town to town shooting people.
Yeah.
They'd be astonished. They really would.
That's a good shout, actually.
Just a big, a nice, good gun.
Not the shooting the people, but yeah, gun is a brilliant shout because it is something that is immediately going to demand respect. But if you run out of ammunition, though, you are going to be probably burned as a witch.
I think they'd probably be wondering whether ammunition even existed. They'd be like going, well... He's pressed a button. He's done something with his weird metallic little kind of lump in his hand. Fire's come out of it and a man's died. Does he, as long as you don't show them that you've got ammunition and it needs ammunition, I think you get away scot-free personally.
I would probably assemble the biggest group of people possible, only use the gun once and say, if you don't kind of respect me, I'm going to use it again, but then probably never use it again. Almost like a sword of Damocles just hanging over people. And then you've got straight away, you've got room to maneuver. That's the best thing you could take back. There's nothing else I can think of that you could take back that would be anywhere near as good apart from possibly a car and a full tank of petrol.
Pornography? I mean, I completely agree. I think we'd have a good few weeks of fun. And we'd be worshipped like a god and a legend. But then I guess things would start to go wrong.
But after that, I'll just drive off.
Exactly. Yeah, just go to the next town and do the same old nonsense. Fantastic.
Yeah, a car. I would definitely choose a car because then if things went wrong, it's a getaway, isn't it? You can't do anything about a gun. You can't run off with a gun.
No, you really can't.
So it's a good idea. So anyway, presuming you're not moving to the 11th century... but you're thinking about moving house. How have you found the house purchasing process so far?
I've never attempted to become a disgusting land baron, as I've called you on more than one occasion.
Yeah.
I'm doing it on the eve of my 40th birthday. So hopefully I'll know yay or nay whether I am a man of means at 40 or not. I didn't think it would happen. But you know
my theory that I've shared with our listenership about how you either think of things not at all or too much. Does it ever occur to you that in successive months now, you've moved out of London, bought a scooter, bought a car, and now buying a house? Why are you truncating everything into like 3 months?
Why do you have to spend all of like your 20s and your 30s doing all this nonsense where you could just squeeze it into like five months.
Stressful months.
it is stressful. And the thing that I don't get is like that it is the most stressful thing you can possibly do and the most expensive thing you can possibly do. And you work with the biggest liabilities. You're always working with someone who doesn't know how to attach things to an email. It just seems like, you know, it seems bigger. They should have lawyers on this. Rather, people who know how to dot the I's, not...
Well, you should be using a lawyer, I mean, first and foremost, to buy a house. I mean, having said that, even the lawyers, I mean, when I bought my house, the lawyer left the company without telling me
right,
in the middle
of it.
I like that. I wouldn't necessarily attach people being lawyers to the fact that they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean,
luckily, we're trying to buy a house off someone who actually works for the estate agent. And if you think that's emotionally fraught, like, try buying something from an estate agent. Oh, they're on it then. If that money's going back in their pocket, oh, they're on it.
Yeah.
Lordy.
They know exactly what's going on now. Peter, before we take a quick break, kind of related to the purchasing of property, I think our listeners deserve your take on the Hanforth Parish Council video. And that's but you must have seen it. You must have an opinion. Who did you relate to? Which one of them was your spirit animal? Probably the one that said, read the standing orders and understand them. He was probably your favourite one, wasn't he?
Well, he just cuts through all the bullshit. I didn't actually watch the extended version, but I just thought that guy broadcasting for an iPad, he just had everything going for him, really. And he read them and understand them. He had a lovely kind of sort of Manchester accent. He's very me, I would say.
Psychopathic. He's doing the council under duress. He don't want to fucking do it. He somehow made himself the vice chairman, and now he's just kicking off.
Do we know what the vice chair? What's about? What are they getting done? What are they arguing about? I couldn't actually tell what they were on about.
No, I couldn't either. I think that there's definitely a chaotic element to that guy who was on Alan's iPad but wasn't actually Alan because. I thought to myself, all the others seemed quite, I don't mean to be rude because I'm sure they're doing a really important job and it's got to be done, obviously, but all of the others, you saw them and heard them and you were like, yeah, they're definitely on a parish council, right? I kind of get it.
Yeah.
This guy, where's he come from? I mean, what's he doing in the normal meetings? Just shit himself and throw the shit around like some kind of chimp.
He seems to be sort of like operating. He's like the heavy for the other guy. He's the heavy for Alan, effectively, isn't he? Alan was just giggling, wasn't he? It's just an astonishing kind of for American listeners who probably sort of are nodding terms with this particular meme and this little video that went around. It is a beautiful kind of cross section and kind of vertical slice of just that kind of like bubbling anger and horror that a lot of people have in Britain. Like, you don't see it very often. It rarely comes to the surface, but when it does, it sounds exactly like that. People not wanting to make a fuss, but then also making a big fuss about things.
Yeah. It's got a real good undertone of like British eccentricity about it as well, and kind of curtain twitching, neighborhood watch style vibes about it. But if I was running that meeting based on what I saw there, because I think Jackie Weaver, the famous Jackie Weaver, I think she was brought in to oversee that meeting because I think there were problems with the parish council itself. And that's where the friction comes from. Now, I don't want to have a pop at Jackie because she did quite a good job under quite difficult circumstances. But if I'm being parachuted into a problematic parish council and I've got to do a Zoom meeting, the first thing I am doing is I am saying, everybody, we're starting in 5 minutes. Please take the time to put your Zoom on mute and turn your cameras off, and I will bring you in one at a time. It's just chaos otherwise. Yeah. It's an absolute battlefield of bureaucracy, and people can't keep their fucking mouth shut.
Yeah. It was an astonishing bit of work and just very enjoyable to see. And the kid who was like recording it is just some lad from, I think, I want to say Golders Green or something.
Just passionate about
parish council meeting. And he managed to come up with an absolute banger.
but if that turned out to be the latest like Chris Morris show, you wouldn't be surprised. Mm.
No, well, it would probably have a little bit more direction. It was just people getting very, very angry.
Yeah, it was very enjoyable. And I think there's probably going to be some more on that. I think there'll be a follow-up or something. I can't imagine that they've not had other more acrimonious meetings as well. So we'll watch that with interest. Peter, should we take a quick break? When we come back, I've got a very, very exciting countdown to do for you.
Lovely.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Stakhanov's award-winning football mockumentary, The Offensive, is available to listen to now. After securing Premier League survival last season, Ashwood City have a new boss.
The new manager, Sven Goran Eriksson.
I am delighted to be the new head coach at Ashwood City Football Club.
But unfortunately, the same old chief executive.
Oh, fuckity, fuckity, fuck, fuck. Stupid comments from an ex-player chanting, make Ashwood great again. Big fucking deal. You know, if he thinks that any of those empty words have had even the slightest impact on Patrick Nolan, MBE, then he is dreaming. Stupid, big idiot, twat, fucking wank, wank.
Follow Ashwood City on and off the pitch every Premier League match week.
I can't even get easy peelers in my local M&S at the moment, Sven, let alone a fullback from Real Sociedad.
I just have a list of players I'd like to bring into your squad.
Okay, well, let me know when you have a list of players you'd like to bring out of the squad.
Described by The Guardian as a must-listen for football fans.
We lied about the corona test result. We isolated our two informed players to stop them playing for England, and now we've asked Man City Football Club to bribe the Premier League on our behalf.
I didn't actually ask them to. I asked if they wanted to.
It's the same fucking thing.
Search The Offensive on your favourite podcast player and listen now.
And we're back. It's the Luke and Pete Show. I'm joined by Luke Moore. My name is Pete Donaldson, and Luke has got some kind of countdown for us. A countdown?
Yes.
Luke, on a Monday?
Yeah. What's call me Richard here? Whiteley. Last week we talked about dad behaviours, didn't we? Mm. Some people got in touch about certain dad behaviours, certain behaviours that are typical of dads of a certain age. Well, Nat followed up on that by posting something on Instagram where there was a vote among our listenership who follow us on Instagram, which is at lukeandpeteshow.com, and they voted on the most example, the examples that were listed of dad behaviour. And I've got a top seven for you here. I don't know why it's number seven, but we're going to go down from seven to number one, and you can have a little say on, Pete, on what you think of them. So basically, coming at number seven in the top seven dad behaviours rundown, number seven was always trying to make one's food hotter by adding extra chili sauce or hot sauce to absolutely everything.
Yeah, I agree with that. Massive. Their taste buds died in the 70s, and yeah, they're just trying to take it out on their tongue. So, yeah, I completely agree. That happened quite a lot in my house.
Number seven, at 44%. Now, coming at number six with 45% of people voting in the affirmative, every Saturday, without fail, go into a DIY shop.
Yeah, my dad does that quite a lot. And he's been doing it under lockdown, which is annoying, because he's not had the jab. He's high risk. He's clinically obese and he's got terrible asthma. And he's just
not a necessary trip, is it? To buy some screws.
He bought some roof felt for the shed. It's full of nothing. There's nothing in there. He doesn't use anything in there. It's just tools, just crappy tools. A rake, maybe a shovel or two, a tin of paint. The shed roof is leaking a slight amount, and he's going back and forth to town to pick up roof felt and tar and stuff. It's not good enough. Stewie.
How long is the trip?
Well, I mean, he can't walk. He's got to get a taxi into town. So he's in a taxi with a bloke. He's in a taxi that's obviously filled with people who've been in taxis all day. It gets, as they get older, parents, they become increasingly fluid and increasingly hard to sort of tell off. You can't tell off your mum and dad because they just go, fuck you. And I understand why, but that's very much what my dad, he's just saying, fuck you, I'll do what I want. It's like, all right, fine, good.
I think that what you're coming up with some quite large resentment there, because I think what you think is you went through the first 18 years or so of your life being told off by them, and you want to do the payback now, but it's being denied to you.
Yeah, they don't like the browbeating. It's very upsetting.
No. All right, well, that's number six. Number five, which is a bit rogue, actually. I'd never really heard of this one before, but it came in with 61% of the vote. 61% of people voted yes to this one. Putting anything at all in soup, even if it's out of date. My dad's never made soup.
Oh, mate, yeah, this is a big one from my dad. And more than anything else, he will get a lot of stuff out of bins.
Where's that come from?
If someone throws a chicken carcass in the bin, he will go... Pull it out of the...
What, your house has been? Not like a house down the road?
No, he wouldn't eat other people's chickens that are in the bin. But the kitchen bin where all the food and, you know, stuff gets shoved, he will pull it out of the bin, strip it and put it in a soup and then add a lot of hot sauce to it. I don't know what he expects...
In a DIY shop on a Saturday. he's taking all the boxes.
Mix it around with a big drill. It's not right, but my stomach's got a cast. My dad's got a cast iron stomach, or my stomach's got a cast iron dad. I don't know which one it is, but yeah, he will eat anything out of bins. Disgusting, disgusting.
All right, number four with 70% of people voting yes, signing off every text with the word dad. That's good. Number three is something that you and I won't be able to share because neither of our dads are particularly into football, but 79% said their dad swore at football matches, proclaiming they'll never watch them again, but watching them again anyway.
Sky News. It's my dad watching Sky News. I'll never watch again. I'll just watch. What I do is I like to rotate Al Jazeera sometimes, then Russia Today, then he'll do rotations. And then by the time he's not watched Sky News for a couple of days, he'll be back on it. He'll be back on
your
his
dad
shit.
Be interested in Andrew Neil's new venture? GB News.
Well, they're just so underrepresented, aren't they?
Yeah.
The fascists.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew Neil, who's been underrepresented. Yeah, he just doesn't really feel like he can have a say in the media after 15 years presenting a flagship BBC show, 12 years editing the Sunday Times. You know,
but he sort of said, oh, look, all of this is great. I can't remember, it was some fucking palaver was going on. And he sort of said, oh, this is great. This is great advertising for Andrew Neil's new TV venture. And he replied on Twitter saying, yes, it is. I won't have to spend hundreds of thousands of pounds on marketing. I guarantee, Andrew Neil, you're not spending anywhere fucking near 10 grand on marketing this shit show. This is just live. This is just London Today.
Guaranteed as well that he's had more fucking platforms than Elton John's wardrobe. So I don't know why he needs a fucking another one. But anyway, we'll look forward to how GB News turns out. If the name is anything to go by, it's going to be abysmal. Number two, complaining about drafts from windows left open upstairs. Yes, that is a big yes from me. My dad always used to talk about that. And number one, with 87% of people voting in the affirmative, the number one dad behaviour, as per our listeners who follow us on Instagram at Luke and Pete Show, was switching the lights off when it's already bright enough outside, quote unquote, and then making you sit there in the dark.
Yeah, and you'd do it, he'd do it, he'd turn it off, and you just sat there going, this is such a waste of both of our times, Dad, because I'm just going to get up, I'm going to turn that light back on again.
Yeah.
And you just will have wasted your time. But he just needs to know in his heart of hearts that he's done something, that he's done something to affect his surroundings, his environment, so to speak.
Yeah, I also, a couple of things that I would add that have been missing, a hugely disappointing lack of Dire Straits in there. And secondly, that we have a routine, we always had a routine in our house where if something broke, my dad would have a go at fixing it. And to be fair to him, he would occasionally fix things, but it almost always ended up in him getting one of his mates round to fix it in the end because he fucked it up. So that's all your dad behaviour, as per the Luke and Pete Show Instagram feed. Should we move on to an email, Peter? Do you want to do an email? Do you want me to do one?
Works for me. I'll get an email up. We did have a few emails about dad behaviour. I think it's worth kind of continuing this thread for a little while.
So hello at lukeandpeach.com is the email address, of course. Mm.
Yeah, Andrew says, here are some of my favourites about my dad. My dad passed away 5 years ago now, so any excuse to remember his habits and mannerisms is always welcome. Already having a double garage in which to keep and restore two classic cars, but needing a separate workshop built next door.
Yeah.
You don't need that many classic cars. Or just buy two very similar classic cars and you can reuse the parts. There's a bloke down the road from us and he's got like one of those kind of off-road kit cars and he's got a little kind of he's extended his house just so he can have a little kind of a little wee garage where he puts the wheels on the wall and he's made like a little kind of kit version of like a Formula One car. He doesn't put his own car in there and he's just constantly I think he's actually been banished from the main house because he's always just walking around with his baldy bonts walking up and down in front of our house. I'm not sure what his game is. Every time I walk past him, there's that fucking guy again. Why is he not allowed in his own house? There's a lot of that going down on our street. Deliberately doing mundane household tasks very badly so as to ensure he was never asked to do them again. Do you remember your dad ever washing up? I don't ever remember my dad washing up. Terrible, terrible workplace to be.
I think somehow it's weird because in my house growing up, when my mum would generally cook, and then me and my sister would have to wash and dry up because we didn't have a dishwasher.
Yeah,
I don't really think my dad was involved. Weirdly,
yeah,
maybe
he just
felt
he kind of saw it off.
He felt like he'd worked hard all day, and maybe he just didn't want to do any more tasks because my dad worked in the factory, so he's probably knackered. But do you remember we had someone emailed us in once on this show saying that their dad, I might be misremembering this, but their dad used to dunk their face in like cold water in the morning to wake them up or something.
To extract money from them? I don't know what the point is.
Oh, speaking of that, actually,
drown a person.
Weirdly, the other night, right, I live in London, so maybe this isn't that surprising, but I'd never had this happen to me before in 15 years of living in London. The doorbell went at about 8 o'clock at night, and obviously we weren't expecting anything. I know sometimes you can get like a delivery at that late these days, but we weren't expecting anything. Now, obviously, we weren't expecting any visitors because we're in lockdown. So it's a bit weird. So I went down, went downstairs, answered the door, opened up, and there's a bloke there, right? He's just like, all right. I was like, yeah, what's up? He was like, yeah, it's just really cold out here tonight, and I haven't got anywhere to stay, so one of you can give me 50 quid. And I was like, what? I was just confused. Like, what do you mean? Like, I didn't really know what to say. And it was like he had expected me to say no, because obviously I'm probably not going to give him 50 quid on the doorstep. Yeah. So he just walked off.
Kind of cash.
And I legged it upstairs to look out the window, and he was going around everyone's house asking for money. Like,
fair dues. Look,
you'd have given him 100.
Out of all the hustles. I spent 37 quid on three household items from a mank who came round, a mank man.
What?
Who came round and sold me some very underwhelming Chinese kitchen appliances, a knife sharpener, and a couple of
other
things.
To your house?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I think it's tax on, because I rent a fairly nice house and I'll never stay in such a nice house again. But we rent, and from the outward, looking in, we're probably quite well off because we've got a nice house, but I mean it's not our house, and so I think it's a tax on some very rich people who could afford a house that's probably cracking on for 700,000, 800,000. So yeah,
well, someone just came to your door and, yeah, and sold you a load of gadgets.
Yeah, just sold me a load of like gadgets.
God.
And I was like,
he cannot believe his luck. Getting Pete Donaldson, if every customer was like you, he would be a billionaire.
Oh, I spent so much money. And when he actually sort of gave me the items, I was like, wow, I've been absolutely done. My knife, when I introduced the knife sharpener to the knife, my knife just went, Peter, come on.
What are you doing?
I was quid from Tesco as this knife.
Your knife went, I'd rather be blunt, to be honest. That is a disgrace.
How dare you? I can't remember what else there was, but it was certainly, I just remember it being very cheap and very underwhelming. I think it's a secateurs. I think I bought some secateurs that would probably cut one rose off a rose.
So you know, I used to have a job. I told you, I used to have a job selling door-to-door stuff.
It's right, awful. Yeah. It was like this, but I presume you didn't do a sob story about his daughter that he's not seen in ages.
That's probably not I was about 21. I didn't have a daughter.
Tail.
I don't have a daughter now. So
I don't think he did. if his idea of honesty is selling me a 50p knife sharpener for 10 quid, I mean, come on.
But it's the convenience, isn't it? It's the convenience.
It's
brought it to you.
Look, usually I'd have to go on Amazon and buy, or Wish.com and buy that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And be underwhelmed by it when it comes.
Oh, finish your email, because I think Andrew deserves a fair crack. Or is it finished?
Indeed, yes. Here are some more things that Andrew's dad did. Walking around the house in greasy overalls that stank of oil and just watching my mum try not to lose
it. Yeah, that's classic. That is classic, yeah.
The sort of overalls that are a little bit like, have you got like a pair of oven gloves that have got like chicken grease on them or something?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
they just, they are never clean. No matter how many times you clean them, they're just always just solid. With oil, it's disgusting. Pausing the television whenever me and my mum spoke, especially during Coronation Street, he would then proclaim, "Well, I missed that," before rewinding it to find out the missed line had been someone ordering a tea and Eccles case from Roy's Rolls.
I don't think of Coronation Street as being a dad show, really.
No, to a certain extent, I know for a fact that people have been talking about Roy's Rolls. Do you reckon that's like a parody of like Rolls Royce? Roy's
Rolls. Of course it is.
Yeah, of course it
is.
Sorry.
Sake.
Sorry, I just passed that in my head. But people have been talking about the fact that under lockdown, Roy, is it Roy Clipper or his fucking name is Roy Cutter?
I think so, yeah. Something like that.
He's, every time they show a shot of the interior of Roy's Rolls, despite being closed due to COVID, there's another person working behind the till. And he's like, and he's not been seen for ages. So they're speculating that Roy's made a ridiculous amount of money somehow under lockdown, although his shop is closed. What's going on, Roy, of Roy's Rolls?
Well, if you can't, I mean, the official instructions are you must work from home if you can.
Yeah,
so maybe
exactly.
This guy can't prepare rolls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But and finally, for now, getting the lyrics wrong to every song pretty much constantly. I mean, to be honest, I think that like that's what I do now. So I think I'd make a perfect dad on that note.
Yeah, and the thing is, you got to spare a thought for us, like people like you and I, Pete, who aren't technically dads, but do regularly indulge in dad what we would know as dad behaviour, like making a noise when you sit down. Telling people not to put their coat on too soon before they leave the house or they won't feel the benefit, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I found myself the other day sat in my car for no reason. Like, I didn't really think about it. And I caught myself doing it, waiting until the entirety of the windscreen was clear of condensation before I even thought about driving off.
Safety first, like, mate.
Yeah, but I was never like that before. I used to be much more exciting than that.
I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it.
Anyway, I think we should probably wrap up for today's show. But thank you very much. This has been a dad themed show.
Dad special. Enjoyed it.
The twist in the end is, don't spoil anyone, but it turns out actually, I can give you the big reveal now, that Pete is actually my dad. And that's what we talked about the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want him to tell me that he loves me.
I've got the hairline. I've got the hairline for it.
Your hairline's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not too
Have you
bad.
Been doing that thing where you've been looking at hairlines again? Because you sent a picture of us back in the day. Didn't you send a picture of yourself back in the day with interviewing someone famous?
Yeah, who has like a kind of a Groucho Marx kind of, not a Groucho Marx, it was a Harpo Marx. Which one of the Marx brothers has a wild do. It's kind of like just
like a Larry David back in the 70s.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got a bit of a widow's peak now. That's pretty cool.
I've always had one. I'm moving with the times by just growing my hair out very long at the back, and not washing my hair. We spoke about this before. Don't it get greasy though? I don't really know what to do with it. Upsetting.
You look like an incel who's obsessed with American Psycho.
I'll take
anyway,
anything in 2021.
Get us out of here, Peter.
All right. This has been the Luke and Pete Show. You've been very good for sitting down and listening to this such a long time. You've really behaved. Me and your mum are really proud of you. If you want to get to the show, it's hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. And do check our Instagram, which is, if you want to type in the full URL into your Chrome browser, it's instagram.com/LukeandPeteShow. Or just look for Luke and Pete Show. Or just let the algorithm do the business. Just let it do it.
Before you do any of that, though, make sure you do your homework first. See you on Thursday.
Ta-ta.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.